So now we want to go over to a different problem and rediscuss Monte Carlo methods. Up to now, we have discussed what is called independent sampling. It is something that we stressed when we derived the formula for the errors and the bias. In the algorithms that we have considered, successive numbers, xi's, are generated independently. So there is no correlation between xi and xj if I is different from j. But this kind of algorithms cannot be used in statistical mechanics. And we have to use different type of Monte Carlo algorithms, dynamic Monte Carlo algorithms. And now we want to understand why the original type of integration method that we've used are not suitable for thermodynamics and statistical mechanics. So let's first remind us of the problem. Imagine we have a gas. We work in the canonical ensemble. And so the configuration are completely specified by the positions of the particles and their momentum. We know that the momentum don't play any role here because they can be integrated out exactly. So at the end, we work in the configuration space and we compute configurational integrals over the position of the particles. So let's do an example and suppose that we want to compute the average potential energy E in the canonical ensemble at constant volume and temperature and number of particles. So we have to compute the average of the potential energy, which means that we have to compute the integral over the positions of the particles of U times e to minus beta U divided by Z. So we can imagine of using the same type of algorithms we have discussed before. So we define a probability density for our integrals and we take pi of R, which is the uniform probability density inside the box. So pi of R is simply 1 over V to the power n in this case, because we have, of course, n three-dimensional integrals. And we write the average value of E in this way as the ratio of two integrals in which we have introduced pi of R. Note that pi of R is a constant, so we can introduce pi of R in the numerator and in the denominator without any problem. They simply cancel between. But introducing pi of R allows us to rewrite this ratio as a ratio of two average values with respect to pi. An average value of U, E to minus beta U on the numerator, and in the denominator there is an average value of E to minus beta U. So it's easy to compute E in this using this algorithm. We generate first a configuration using the probability density pi. And this is done exactly as we did for the one-dimensional case. We first generate the position of the first particle, and this is obtained by using three random numbers, U1, U2, and U3, and multiplying them by L, so that we get a vector uniformly distributed in the box. Then we generate another group of three random numbers, say U4, U5, U6, and we use them to generate R2, the position of the second particle. Then we generate an additional three random numbers, U7, U8, U9, and this gives you R3. We repeat this procedure several times till we have generated the position of all particles, R1, Rn. Then we compute Ni and Di, which are nothing but the functions on the configurations. They correspond in our previous language of f of xi and g of xi. F of xi is Ni, say, and g of xi is di. And then we repeat this step a certain number of times, the number of iterations, and the estimate is just the ratio of the two sample means. And in this way, we get an estimate of E, which is simply given by the ratio of the two sample means and we can simplify the number of iterations, and we write E as the ratio of the sum of the n i's divided by the sum of d i's. This algorithm is certainly correct, but unfortunately gives reasonable numbers only if the number of iterations is enormous. Otherwise, the error is very large and the results have no meaning. Why does this happen? The reason why this algorithm does not work is the same reason why thermodynamics works. And for real systems, we know that the energy, the distribution of the energy, is peaked around the mean energy with a relative width which decreases like 1 over square root of n. So essentially, the only configurations which the system visits in practice are only those configurations in which the potential energy is very close to its average. All the other configurations are irrelevant for statistical mechanics. Unfortunately, our algorithm generates configurations randomly, and so the energy, the potential energy, can take any value, not just those values which are close to the mean value at that given temperature. For instance, if you throw randomly the particles inside the box, it is well possible that two particles are very close to each other. Thus, they give a very large value for the potential energy, which is not possible in practice. The configurations that truly contribute to the potential energy, to the average of potential energy, are never those configurations in which particles are so close. So this means that you get very large fluctuations of your values ni and di, and if these numbers fluctuate a lot, also the error will be very big. So to understand these issues, let's consider a very simple example in one dimension. So here you want to compute the exponential of e to minus 10,000 x in the x in the integral 0, 1. The function, note, is essentially 0 everywhere, except in a tiny interval whose width is of order 10 to minus 4, essentially. 10 to minus 3, 10 to minus 4, and then it's 0. Outside that interval is 0. Now let's compute I using our algorithm, in which we generate numbers uniformly in 0, 1. And here it gives you some results obtained taking 1,000 iterations. So what I do, I perform 1,000 iterations, I extract 1,000 numbers uniformly in 0, 1, and compute the sample mean. Then I repeat the procedure a second time, I repeat the procedure a third time. I repeated the procedure 8 different times, so I have 8 different sample means, and I report here the results, and as you can see, they fluctuate wildly, and they are not really related to the correct result, which is 10 to minus 4. In most of the cases, they are smaller. In one case, the last one, the result is more than 4 times larger. So these results are very poor estimates. And you can understand that 1,000 iteration is not enough if you compute the error. You can compute the error exactly. The error is 0.007 divided by square root of n. And for 1,000 iteration, the error is 2.2 10 to minus 4. And you immediately realize that the error is much larger than the value of I, of the result. So it means that with this level of precision, you can simply set I equal to 0 without doing any simulation. So 1,000 iteration is not enough. To get a reasonable result, you need at least a number of iterations which is significantly larger than 10,000, and you immediately realize that there is an argument here why this is true. Indeed, imagine that you take 100,000 iterations, and you ask how many points of those 100,000 fall in the tiny interval in which the function is not zero. Since the relevant region has a width of order w divided by 10,000, you immediately realize that the number of points is 10 times W. And if you take W of order 5, 10, you see that you have 50, 100 points in the relevant region. All the others are irrelevant, they just give zero. So in your algorithm, you have generated 50, 100 relevant points, and a huge number of the order of 100,000 or 100,000 points, they don't count anything. So you have essentially wasted your time doing this type of algorithm. So we need to change methodology. We use a different methodology, which is called important sampling. Configurations are not generated randomly inside the box, but according to the canonical measure. So we want to generate points using pi of r, which is the canonical measure, 1 over z, e to minus beta u. In principle, you can imagine that you use a method, an independent sampling method, to generate points that are distributed according to pi of r. But unfortunately, we don't know methods that are able to generate independent configurations distributed with the canonical measure. There are only very few cases in which this is possible. So we have to change method, and so we will discuss in the next lecture the dynamic Monte Carlo method, which generates correlated configurations according to pi. So the idea is that we want to generate configurations distributed to pi. We are not able to generate them independently, which is something that we would really like to do, but we cannot do. So we'll abandon the requirement of independence, but we'll keep the requirement of distributed according to pi of r. So in the next lecture, we'll discuss how to generate correlated configurations that are generated with probability pi of r. And this will require us to discuss Markov processes and Markov chains.